Welcome to today's edition of The Mobile Messenger, a series of podcasts from SearchMobileComputing.com, focused solely on issues that affect the mobile enterprise.
This is Kara Gattine, and I'm joined today by Daniel Taylor, the Managing Director for the Mobile Enterprise Alliance. On Friday, March 3, 2006, Research in Motion and NTP announced that the companies have settled their long-running patent dispute. In 2002, NTP won a patent infringement judgment against Research in Motion, makers of the popular BlackBerry mobile email device. For the four subsequent years, the disposition of the case has been uncertain, and recently, the prospects of an injunction against BlackBerry have loomed on the horizon. Hello, Dan, and thanks for joining us to discuss the details of the settlement.
Hello, Kara.
It looks like Research in Motion has finally struck a deal with NTP.
Yes, they most certainly have, though part of me keeps waiting for this thing to reanimate. This case has been like a horror movie for so long, I just can't believe that it's over.
So what are the terms of the deal?
Well, Research in Motion has already paid $612.5 million to NTP. Many of us expected that this would happen, though we thought that the number would be a little higher, say in the $800 million to $1 billion range. The key component of this settlement is the terms of the license that NTP is granting RIM. This is a license that covers the past and the future of BlackBerry, as well as all of RIM's BlackBerry partners.
And what about NTP's patents? I've heard that the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has overturned them.
I've heard the same, and many people have told me that NTP's patents are junk. Now, I've actually sat down and read all of the relevant patents, and with 89 claims and 45 pages, the 960 patent behind this whole thing is quite compelling. Since the technology dates back 15 years, some of the technologies and the protocols are old, but the engineering is there, and it's clear to me that Thomas Campagna spent quite a bit of time on his invention. As for whether this patent is junk, that's something I'm not qualified to determine, and I simply just don't know. What I do know is that right now those patents are worth about $612.5 million, and despite what RIM has said publicly, I believe that actions speak louder than words. So what are you going to believe, an editorial in the Wall Street Journal or cold hard cash?
By RIM's BlackBerry partners, do you mean the carriers?
In part, the carriers, the device manufacturers, and software developers. But the carriers are really an incredibly important part of this equation. And NTP realized that early on. You see, RIM has zero direct distribution. The company doesn't sell to consumers. They don't sell to businesses. They don't sell directly to anybody other than their distribution partners. And so by relying on an indirect distribution model, that means that the carriers actually buy the BlackBerry devices from RIM and then sell them to customers. This has kept RIM really happy because the average selling price for a BlackBerry device is about $382. And this money has come from the wireless operators. Now, the wireless operators then turn around and sell the BlackBerry device at or below cost, subsidizing the sale, in order to get a service contract, usually a 1 or 2 year data service contract that goes with the service. So RIM gets to make a healthy 59.6% profit on every BlackBerry they sell. And that's a profit margin that the carriers so far have been guaranteeing for RIM. Now, interestingly, in this case, the carriers have been extremely quiet in the public sphere. We haven't heard anything from them. And unlike many others in the case, the carriers didn't even bother to file an amicus curiae brief with the court. And the carriers were notably absent from the discussion of the workaround. Now, my guess is the carriers can't get rid of BlackBerry, but that they'd be perfectly happy to have an alternative solution under their own brand. Now, RIM has been trying very hard to push the idea of BlackBerry as a universal global brand. It's wishful thinking to place BlackBerry in the same level of brand identity as Nike and Apple, but that's exactly what RIM has been trying to do, and I don't think the carriers like it one bit, which is why they've been quiet. They can't say no to RIM because BlackBerry is the only game in town, but they'd very much like to envision a future without BlackBerry.
You mentioned the workaround that RIM still claims to have. What will happen to that?
You know, we're really still scratching our heads on that one. I believe very strongly that if everything RIM has said was true, then they're crazy not to have paid the $200 million they've owed NTP for royalties to date and then deployed the workaround. But chances are that the workaround was never toast and roses, and despite the fact that RIM said that it was legal, it probably wasn't. Whether that meant that there was going to be a motion from NTP or a finding of contempt on the part of the judge, it really doesn't matter. Had RIM deployed the workaround, we'd still have been in court, and there'd still be uncertainty about BlackBerry's future. And at some point down the road, we would have found ourselves right back here with a settlement that would have looked not altogether different from this one. So the question about the workaround is, did RIM lie about it? Many people have come to that conclusion. Now, I think RIM was using legalese and was being extremely optimistic about the legality and the technical components of the workaround, especially the timetable that it would take for enterprises to deploy it. Meanwhile, the mere prospect of the injunction has been enough to keep customers from buying. On Friday, when announcing the settlement, RIM also lowered last quarter's sales estimates down by somewhere between 80 and 120,000 devices. Now, at $400 per device, this translates to between $40 and $60 million in lost revenue over the last quarter. Now, if we annualize that, that would have been a hit of about $200 million, or 10% of RIM's overall sales. My guess is that those numbers, plus the judge's comments last week, helped to convince RIM that it was really time to settle.
As we wrap up, what should enterprise IT managers take away from this settlement?
First, IT managers who've been on this roller coaster should think long and hard about single vendor solutions, even in new markets where there's one company that has the only game in town. Secondly, enterprise decision makers should think long and hard about betting their business on a company like RIM. I realize that RIM has been enforcing the company's legal rights, but there's a time and place for everything. RIM could have reached this same settlement in November of last year, and nobody would have been any the wiser, but to play fast and loose with customers, promising a workaround, claiming the patents were junk, and then only to settle, well, that's not really endearing behavior. Now, I don't really think that RIM has won the affection of many enterprise IT managers in the past several months, but I also think that now is the best time to negotiate the best deal on mobile email. Now is the time to talk to the vendors and demand better devices and better features. And hopefully by this time next year, there will be an even better set of devices, services, and solutions for enterprise mobility.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Dan, and we'll be talking soon.
Thank you, Kara. It's always good talking to you.
This podcast was brought to you by SearchMobileComputing.com. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to come back for future editions of The Mobile Messenger, podcasts that focus solely on issues affecting the mobile enterprise.